You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King, peace who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, on this Palm Sunday, as we prepare for Easter, I have a Christmas question for you. Gifts under the tree, do you shake them? Yes. I do too. Right? You could leave them for the Christmas morning surprise, of course, or you could shake them and try and figure out what's inside of them and go back and forth. I shake the presents. I always have. It's part of the anticipation and excitement for me. My husband, however, does not. Ever the rule follower, he wants to be surprised. He always wants that. When we were expecting our first child and we were going back and forth on whether or not we should find out the gender ahead of time, he thought, of course we will not do that. That is the rule. We need the surprise. And I, of course, wanted to find out because I needed to plan. Well, he did not need to plan, and he was excited about the surprise, and so we waited. Do you like surprises? Raise your hand. You like surprises? I like planning surprises for other people. I'm not always a big fan of being surprised myself. I have planned anniversary parties and birthday parties and even trips for our kids, all of which were surprises. But myself, I struggle with that. And Mike threw me a surprise birthday party one time, and it was wonderful, and I was surprised, but I knew something was up the whole couple weeks in advance, and I was trying to figure it out, and I just am not always one who does well with surprises. You can ask the staff. I have said to them, no surprises. I like the predictable. Now, do you know what a flash mob is, right? You've seen them before. That's a group of a whole bunch of people. They come together, maybe to like they're going to sing in the middle of a crowd or dance or do something else. Well, Shane Claiborne tells a story about a flash mob in Knoxville. And this flash mob was especially unpredictable. Flash mobs are unpredictable in general, but this one actually happened in a pretty unexpected place. You see, word had gotten out that there was to be a white supremacist and KKK rally in the middle of Knoxville. They were coming into town for that, and there was going to be a rally, and word had spread, and people were really angry, and they were wanting to respond. There were some people who were indifferent and some people who were okay with it, of course, but many people wanted to respond sometime because this group, most of whom were coming from out of town and had somehow obtained a permit, were coming to reflect things they didn't like. And so they planned a surprise, and the people who were coming had no idea that a surprise was coming. This group of locals weren't going to cower in the face of this evil. They were also not going to fight fire with fire. And so they decided they would do a counter demonstration that was based on humor. They showed up on that day with a gang of clowns. There were unicyclists, there were people on stilts, they had red noses, and they way outnumbered the people who had come for the rally, and they started yelling, white flower, all over, and they pulled out bags of flour, and they started shaking it, and there was this big white cloud of flour, and it captured all of the media attention away from the rally and onto this big white flower demonstration. Well, after a bit, the cloud said that they had gotten the message wrong, that it was really supposed to be white flowers, and so they dusted themselves off, and a whole new band of clowns came with barrels of white flowers, and they started passing out the white flowers to everyone, yelling, white flowers, white flowers. Well, everyone got a flower, and pretty soon the clowns again said that they had the message wrong, that it was supposed to be wife power. And so van loads of women dressed in bridal gowns came out yelling, wife power, wife power. And then this kept on going. Pretty soon it was tight showers, and the clowns came out spraying the crowds with water, and then it was, they handed out white sours, and then they built a white tower, and it was a beautiful day. The rally was outsmarted, they left early, the surprise really threw them off. The clowns paraded down the street, and others joined in, they snaked through the city, and it was full of laughter, and there was even a children's book that was written about it. It was a message of love that set them free. One day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. There are believed to have been two different processions on that day. One is the story that we know, that Judy just read, the story of Jesus who rode in from the east on a donkey. It was a humble entry. There were palm branches waving. It was the Prince of Peace coming. There was another parade. Pilate rode in from the west in this parade on a majestic horse with imperial cavalry and soldiers. It was the Keeper of Peace. Both were riding into Jerusalem. It was Passover time, which was a time of celebration, a time for parades. And there were typically 100,000 people who came to Jerusalem. Well, I found that that year, it was believed that there were 2.7 million people in town. They were there. There was Pilate's display of imperial power and the kingdom of Caesar, and there was Jesus's display of humility and grace and the kingdom of God. Was Jesus mocking Pilate? I don't know. But I do know that his actions were surprising. Well, at least to those in the crowds and to Pilate. Jesus' parade got all kinds of attention, which only angered the authorities. Jesus came in on a donkey, showing a new way of ruling. He entered into Jerusalem to shouts of, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." He entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. You don't get much more surprising than that. A counter-protest to the military parade that Pilate came in on a majestic horse. Jesus came to show a different way. Now, throughout our Lenten journey these past few weeks, we have been looking at the parables of Jesus, the stories Jesus told. We've looked at them all, many of them, and many of them, as Jesus had told them to the crowds around him, would have been surprising. The first who heard their stories would have really wondered and didn't expect those kinds of endings. And if we're honest, we find them somewhat surprising too. Have faith like a mustard seed, something that is so small and insignificant and becomes something so big. Or the story of the man who gave his son his inheritance because the son asked for it, and then he ran off and left him and basically said, "You're dead to me." And that man welcomed him back home. His father welcomed him back home. A Samaritan who stopped by to help someone who had been beaten and left on the road for dead. He stops and helps him when others just walk by. A landowner entrusted his property to servants and expected them to do something with it, to grow it, while one kept it safe. He got mad because he chose to protect it. A vineyard owner hiring people at different times of the day and paying them all the same amount. These are all surprising endings that showed a different way of being, a way that said, if you follow me, you will experience the kingdom of God here and now. If you follow me, you will care for others, even if it goes against what you've been taught. You will use your gifts. You will extend grace. You will understand God's love as vast and for all. There were stories that presented different ways of being a person of faith that were surprising. But we're not entirely surprised by the stories or by Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey, because Jesus was always countercultural. He was always turning things upside down, just like when he turned the tables over in the temple in Jerusalem. This is the Jesus that we know, who is not afraid to push boundaries and speak out and go against the norm, who's not afraid to surprise those in power. Often the way of the Lord flies in the face of the powerful. Jesus shows us that the way of the Lord is love and grace and strength and mercy. It's calling the accusers to cast the first stone and taking water from the outcast. It's admonishing those who take away the dignity of the humble. It's standing on the margins and healing the sick and feeding the hungry and loving the unlovable. It's welcoming the stranger and comforting the grieving and bringing hope to the hopeless. It's expanding the table and opening the doors and loving without condition at all times. These are unexpected actions for a community who practiced faith in a different way. The people of Jesus' time were constantly surprised by what this Messiah looked like, for he is not what they expected. And if we're honest, the fact that Jesus calls us to follow him is surprising too. We don't always feel worthy of his love and his acceptance, or really the call itself. We don't always think of ourselves as Christ in the world, as his hands and feet, as his body. And when we do that, when we feel like that, we are making Jesus into a distant king on a throne, instead of the humble Lord who walks among us. The grace, the surprise and the grace that God shows us can very well surprise the heck out of us. But that's God's nature. We see that in Christ, and we are called to be like Jesus. It would be much easier to place Jesus up on a throne with a majestic horse that brings him into town, who is distant and far away, never challenging us to move beyond ourselves, happy with the status quo above and beyond us. But instead, he walks among us, humbly, lovingly, showing us the way of peace and grace and love, the way of the Lord. As we begin our Holy Week journey, and walk with Christ to the cross, we remember that it is because of his surprising countercultural behavior, his alternative ways of living in community, his teachings about grace and mercy, and his actions that put people above rules that caused those in power to have him crucified. And so may we go humbly with our Lord and maybe even surprise some people ourselves by walking in his footsteps as we remember how much Jesus loves us, so much that he was willing to die to show us that love. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.